so good to be home. It really is. I'm not making that up. I do miss sunshine and those kinds of things, but you know what? I couldn't survive living 100% of the time on vacation. I got to have work and something better to do than just spend money and look at half-naked people on a beach. So, it was great fun down there. We did church on Sunday. So last Sunday, we literally had church. It was a Calvary Chapel outreach, and they've been doing church for 10 years on the beach. And I experienced what some people experience in many churches. I don't remember a single thing from the service. The reason being is because I love surf skiing, and they had a surf ski competition right there at the beach. Next to the surf ski competition were snorkelers and turtles. Turtles! So I don't even know the verse. I don't know the pastor's name. I don't remember anything. So I feel like the worst person on the planet. I'm not only a person that went to church. I'm a pastor. I should have known what he preached on. I'm sure it's good in Jesus' name. But I'm just telling you, if I had one suggestion, I would say, move. Don't have church on the beach. No one's listening. I'm telling you, it was very impressive. And so I'm glad to be in a place where I can not be competing with turtles or surf skis. So, yes, yeah, but it was so much fun. And some of the highlights, Petrae and I and the girls, the things that we enjoyed most this time was it's truly the things that we got to experience together. We only have those moments. Once they're gone, they're gone. Then you just have the memories. And I have lots of fun memories that I will keep with me forever. Snorkeling with my girls in shark-infested waters. That was awesome. Not just that, but hiking in the jungly part, the tropical part. We just left the beaten path and just explored into the mountain, the base of Haleakala there. Yeah, I learned how to say it. And then we found our own little, waterfalls and stuff like that, and we climbed into caves behind the waterfalls and swam around in there, and it was just so fun. Haley and I did some cliff jumping. We scared Petrea half to death by getting close to this blowhole that just killed somebody the other week, and so it was wonderful. great memories. And we did a luau. That's something that's a little embarrassing too. So if you don't know what I mean, then can't tell you about it. And we took pictures, but we deleted them because they're obscene. I have a whole nother impression of boom, 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 boom. It just means something else to me. But that sounded different as I said it. It came across different. Different cultures, different places, they offer so many great times to just be together and I'm just thankful that what a blessing it was. For those of you that don't know, this trip was a gift. My family, we're not crazy rich, so we can't afford to do those things. But somebody paid for all of our plane tickets, paid for our stay there. And not just that, but they paid for at least 3 different big excursions. You know, this was a blessing. So you can't tell me that if you make the sacrifice to serve the Lord, that he doesn't come back and bless you more than you could ever ask or imagine, you know? And so don't think that I'm taking your offering and running to Hawaii with it. But all right, you guys ready to get into the Word of God today? Yeah! All right, help me out here this morning. Okay, everybody reach into your pocket and pull out the illustration for church service today. You know what it is. It's your smartphone. Come on, bring it out. Show me this. So if you've got a smartphone, even a dumb phone, if you just got a phone, bring it out. Show it. Show everybody what it is. Act like it's a silly rock concert, and we turn on the light, and we're like, yeah, used to be lighters, but those went away. We can't even, how do you light up a vape thing? It doesn't work. So we do these. So it's just, let me light up this, and there you go. That's good. So not everybody did this. Do you have a smartphone? Show me. Show me real quick. Look at this. Almost everyone. Okay, put them down. Who doesn't have a phone? We want to all point at you and laugh. No, I'm teasing. No, no. This is the reality of our life right here. Do you realize that in our generation, it is almost so common that every single human being has one of these? Almost every person, by in large portion, every person has one of these. Even little goobery kids have these $500 and $800 phones. This is crazy. I didn't have anything that expensive when I was even 16. So, I mean, this is crazy, the world we live in. But this marks it more than many things I could come up with. The smartphone, this smart device, your iPhone, your Galaxy this or that, your Rest Note Q something, rather tab thing, whatever it might be. But, you know, in the palm of my hand, I have this powerful, powerful device. This represents my message today. The problem with stuff like this is my old, archaic, brontosauric phone here, because it's a 5C, if anybody knows what that is still. It's not the iPhone 10 plus plus super big mama. It's not that. This is the iPhone 5C. The big thing it did is it's green. That's it. That's all it does. And you know, my battery life stinks compared to some of the others. This is one of these things that these Sprint guys try and tell you. You need a battery life that stinks. You need this. You know why? Because we use these phones all the time. And I'll tell you the pain, that experience. Maybe you've shared this experience. I am so addicted to this smart device, which tells me the weather, the time. It alerts me when to get up. It woke me up this morning. I can ask it questions and it responds. It calls me Batman and stuff like this. You know, I talk to the phone. It talks back to me. But here's the thing I've grown to be addicted to and I can't live without. Maps. Directions. So in Hawaii, I do things like this. I want to go to the Napalaki Palaki Bolo Hole. And you can't spell it, so you just ask, you know, hey, take me to the blah, 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 blah. And it goes, oh, it's right here. Pops up a little icon that says, ding, right there. And then I go, go. And then I set it down in my little rental car. And as I move, even out of the parking lot, it teaches me and trains me like I'm a toddler driving a $60,000 rental car. And it's telling me, turn right out of this. Turn, go in 20 feet. Like I can't see the next change, but I'm addicted to this. And then it's like 10 feet, turn now. And then I turn and then it goes, in 5 minutes, you're going to arrive. And then when I get there, it's like, you have arrived. And it is so comforting to know. It's funny because I'm a guy, it used to be before I had this, the thing that was telling me where to turn and where to go, I was keeping on telling them to be quiet. Honey, stop telling me where to go. Don't tell me where to go. Now I have a smart device that has a girl's voice and it tells me where to go all the time. Go figure. That's crazy. Here's the problem, though. When we were in Hawaii, I didn't have my adapter. Oh. And so it came time with this battery draining GPS quality of my phone. It was just sucking the battery dry. And the next thing I know, I go to look for directions and the screen is blank. The screen is blank and I'm in another state on an island. You'd think it would be easy to find your way around. There's water everywhere. You just keep making right turns like NASCAR or left turns. What is it? I don't know. And you know, you just keep turning. You eventually you're going to run into the place, right? No. Panic set in. I was starting to feel stress. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know. Where am I at now? I couldn't remember where I'd been. I couldn't remember which way to go. And I'm like, oh no, I don't know how long it's going to take me to get where I don't need to go and all this kind of stuff. And then I was saved because one of my kids had a phone with battery life still. And so then, you know, this was no good to me anymore, but thank iPhone and my daughter, they had another one that could give me directions. See, I'm convinced that this generation, this is a wonderful parable for us. All the potential you could ever dream up, more than what any previous generation could ever dream up, is sitting right here in the palm of our hand. It's a powerful computer. You can access worldwide information. You can find almost anything out. If you have a problem, you just ask it. It could just tell you all kinds of stuff. You need directions, it can give it to you. If you need light in a dark place, you turn on your light. If you need to reach out and touch someone, you call someone, or you just text them. That's all you really do nowadays. You know, all of these things, it's amazing. You can even ask it to tell you a story, and it'll tell you a story. If you need music because you're bored, it'll play you music. I look at all of this, and I think there has never been a device like this. And all I can say is this is wonderful, and it's the same message that we've been told as a generation. From when we are born until this current phase, every single one of us have heard this phrase. You're special. You have potential. You have all this ability, all of this wonderful stuff about you, and it's true, just like this is true. And I can't negate that. Every one of you is talented, created in God's image, just like the verse that was read today. I can't disrespect that in any way, but I'll tell you one thing. If your battery is drained, if you got no power, I don't care how much potential. I don't care how many megabytes is in your hard drive or whatever it is. I don't care what network you're associated with. I don't care any of that stuff. I don't even care the label on the back of it. You are useless, useless, useless. Now, you don't hear that in public schools today. Can you imagine a teacher standing up and saying, hey, you guys are all special, but without blah, 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 you're useless. They would be like, you just hurt my feelings. I need to go to my safe space. Why? We don't like this. We want to hear the message very clearly. Tell me about my potential. Tell me about what I can do. Tell me if you give me this or this. Blah, blah, blah. Why? Because that is the lie we buy into as if it will be the cure-all to all of our problems. But I'll tell you, potential has never saved anyone. Come on, church, potential has never saved anyone. A dream has never saved anyone. Dream all you want, friend. A dream doesn't feed you. Love doesn't pay the bills. But I love you. Well, then show up consistently. Oh, well, but I need to be free. Well, no, that's not right. Commitment is different. See, there are so many things that we've bought into that says this is the answer to our problems, but I'll tell you, it all boils down to a dead phone in my book. So the answer is something very real. You have to plug into power. You have to unplug from those things that drain you and plug into something that gives you real power. And there is an opportunity for every single one of us to not just have potential and destiny and purpose, but you can have power. You can be a light in the darkness. You don't have to hear another preacher tell you about you, the light of the world. You delight. If your light isn't working because you got no juice, it doesn't help for me to tell you you're the light of the world. You got to have power. And so the reality of this message today boils down to one word, and this word is so archaic, meaning we don't use it anymore. And the word is anointing. The word is anointing. What in the world is an anointing? It's such a churchy word. People are like, oh, I remember that. If you was an old person in church, you're like, I know what anointing is. If you're a new person, you're like, is that a lotion? Is it a perfume? I don't know. Sounds sticky. You know, it's like, so we're going to talk about anointing. But see, before I even tell you about anointing, I have to paint some pictures for you. Because without the anointing, I'm telling you, it's very, very hopeless here. What I just shared about this analogy, this doesn't feel very critical, does it? This dead phone? Well, go get a new phone. Go wait. You can wait. You can wait. Get a different thing to plug into. It's a lot more serious than that. And John Maxwell says to people, he says, people don't change or do anything until they care enough to actually act, or until they're feeling enough to actually act, or until they're afraid enough to actually act, or until they're in pain enough to actually act. In essence, he's saying, just knowing something needs to be done isn't going to do anything. So me telling you you need power today went in one ear and out the other. My goal this morning is this. I don't want one of you to leave here with this being your reality, a dead phone. That's not how you're supposed to be. I want every single one of us to feel a fire lit under our seats so that you say, I can't live without power. I can't live without anointing. If I don't get this anointing right now, something bad is going to happen to me. Something that I can't live with is going to be a reality, and I don't want that, so I need this power. I'm telling you, if you don't catch that fire or that intensity, you will be the same today as you were last week. So let me ask you, how happy has life been for you? Has religion changed you? Has your friendships changed you? Has your New Year's resolutions made any difference in your life? Has all these things you've been trying to incorporate in your mind, new understanding, new wisdom of some sort, has it helped you in any real substantial way? Are you basically putting Band-Aids on sickness and illness, and it's not really changing? The answer isn't another information thing or those things. It's power. We need power. I got to read to you two quotes. The first one comes from a guy by the name of Leslie Felder. He wrote this book, Trousered Apes. Sounds like a great book. Here's what he says about our generation and the seriousness of our time. He says, we, talking about us in general, the Western man has decided to just do away with himself. He has created his own boredom out of his own affluence, his own vulnerability out of his own erotomania, his own vulnerability out of his own strength, and his own impotence out of his own, erotomania. And he is blowing the trumpet that brings the walls of his own city tumbling down. Having convinced himself that he is too numerous, he labors with pill and scalpel and syringe to make himself fewer, thereby delivering himself even sooner into the hands of the enemy of his soul. And at last, this is what I feel is so real today. And at last, having educated himself into an imbecility and polluted and drugged himself into stupefaction, he kills over a weary, battered, old brontosaurus and has become extinct. What is this even saying? It's saying, look at the world around us, and in our efforts to find freedom, we've become imprisoned by all kinds of wants and desires. In this effort to find pleasure through sex, we've actually destroyed our very lives. I'm sitting here listening to stats upon stats about the rampant pornography because of the internet. The internet has polluted so many minds. There is such a desensitization towards anything that would arouse in the natural sense. God has not created us to be desensitized in the way we are today. But I'll tell you, men everywhere and women everywhere are so callous because of the crazy smut that's available at just the push of a button. And so we're impotent and we're powerless. And the funny thing is as we become smarter, we really just become stupider. We have so many higher learning organizations, but they do nothing to help. I look at them and I just feel like their chain of logic is no longer logic. They have great appeals to sympathy. They have all these other things. I don't even know if they even study logic in school anymore. There's nothing that is linear thinking anymore. It's just whatever's right in your own eyes is right. And because of that philosophy, we are making ourselves extinct. All right, I'll bring it home in this way. In our generation, here's what some futurists are saying about us in the younger generation. So those that have been born, say, 2000 on, it's actually 1995 on. These are the qualities that they are saying. They are saying this: I'm just really tired. I am really distracted. Wake up. Wake up, wake up. I'm fat and obese. I'm on my fifth career, my ninth job in just 5 years. I'm overwhelmed, but I'm dealing with it. I'm impatient. I make short-term commitments. Mm-hmm. Anybody say amen? I'm finishing a marriage contract that was set up for just 3 years. Going into it, we decided to just have a marriage for 3 years. I didn't even know that's a possibility. That's... I'm reinventing myself again today. It's amazing. I have no innocence. I'm seeing a therapist. I love and hate my parents. I'm bored. Don't laugh. What are you laughing at? He's like, this is the middle of the message. You don't laugh when I say I'm bored right then. Okay, keep going on. I'm going to have to see my therapist now. I'm spending money out of control. $250,000 each year. It's crazy. I'm depressed again. Oh, I'm self-absorbed. I'm self-absorbed. I'm thinking about myself. I spend too much time at home. Online. At home. Online. At home. Online. I'm living in a greener world. I recycle. I'm passionately following the reunion tour of Beyonce and Lady Gaga. I'm stressed and I have little time to rescue my soul. What is a soul, by the way? I pursue instant pleasure and entertainment, and I will spend everything I have to get it. Wow. I'm medicated. I've always been medicated. I'm living in a virtual world, and I plan someday to try a virtual marriage out. I've learned to do things faster than anyone else previous to me, and the pace of life that I live in is accelerated. I'm experimenting with preferences in gender and religion. Why? Just because. I still want to change my world. I'm just very cynical about the possibilities. I don't believe I can really make a difference as everyone else has told me I could. I'm a leader in society now. I just don't feel very prepared. I don't know about you, but I read that and I go, ah! I'm depressed just by reading that. I need to go see a therapist now. Oh, wait a minute. That's my generation. Well, let's just divert the attention from that and let's just play a game online. You know, anything to not look that in the face is what I will try and do because it really is discouraging to hear these kinds of things. But let me be frank. This is not shocking to anyone in this room, I don't think. Why? Is anybody shocked when I read those things? No one's shocked. 25 years ago, this was shocking. 25 years ago was when this was written. It was so shocking, the futurist said, by the year, and then they mentioned this year, this is what's going to be happening. And people would hear it, and they'd laugh, and they'd say, no, it's absurd. But in this moment and in this day and age, we read it and go, yeah, tell me something that would surprise me or shock me. Because all of this is common, it's familiar, it's the status quo. Where are we headed with this reality? I'll tell you the very thing that that other quote says, we have educated ourselves into stupefaction and all this, and we've made ourselves impotent, and we're killing ourselves. Basically, we're promoting our own extinction and our own demise. And I'll tell you, in the church world, it isn't much better in the U.S., churches are on the decline. Don't be fooled by the mega church phenomenon of the 90s that is still residual in our country. There are always going to be these mega churches. Why? Because itching ears will find a place to feed. But I'll tell you the truth. When someone stands in the presence of God, delivers the word of God, it will be abrasive and offensive to many. But they will find life and it will produce power in them that is... it's hard to replicate. There is no counterfeit to it. There is no substitute for it. Jesus really is the answer for the ills or the ills of this world. And so when I look at this, I think the reality is undeniable. This world is screwed up. I look at all of it around and I think, gosh, when guys don't know if they're guys and girls don't know if they're girls... something's wrong. When we went to the airport bathroom, they had the gender one, and the gender for everything. And I'm like, ha ha! I think I might experiment. You know, I was like, no, this is crazy. I know what bathroom I'm supposed to go into. My mama told me so. You know, there are things that are so absurd in our day and age. What will happen if something doesn't change? My girls and I every now and then will talk around the dinner table, and I am not surprised at the concept of the end of the United States. Is it shocking? No, not really anymore. What does that mean? Could this union that was started so long ago, not really? Could it disintegrate? Could it fall apart? I'll tell you, yes, it can. History has proven to us time and time again, like in England, the empire where the sun never set, they're barely holding it together. You look at the empires before that, the Greco-Roman Empire before that. I'm telling you, when Alexander the Great was conquering the world, when he died, his four generals split up what was left over and they ate the remaining things and everything crumbled and fell apart. You can't tell me that when history says that as a nation politicizes religion, they are going to thrive, because there has never been one example in all of history where a country says, let's make God so political that we will be able to enshrine God's hand and favor on us, that we don't have to worry. We're just foolish. That's the final nail in the coffin of that democracy or that organized country. And I'll tell you, we are on the precipice, on the edge of a cliff where there is nothing but anarchy, chaos, everyone doing like in the time of Judges. You do what's right in your own eyes. That is the final arbiter of right and wrong. And you can't tell me with any veracity that that isn't true. You see it in the mirror. You do what you think is right. You don't care what I say. You do what you think is right. You don't care what your mama said. You do what you think is right. You don't care what a teacher or a politician says. You are the final arbiter of truth in your life. Tell me I'm a liar. This is our country. And I look at this and I say, as we fight for our way in our time, we are nothing more than a dead smartphone. And what are we going to do about it? I'll tell you, there is hope. There is hope. There is hope. If you think the house is on fire, I praise God. Wake up. Get out. Hear the alarm. Run out of the house. Don't cover your eyes and just hide under the bed. The building's burning. Get out. What you and I need to do is simply this: unplug and plug into the real source of power. Unplug. And find that source of power where you can find the strength you need to overcome insurmountable odds. This message boils down to one simple truth. You can't fight the enemies that you are facing without the anointing. You can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't cure disease. You can't cure addiction. You can't fix society. You can't even fix yourself. You can't fix your marriage. You can't raise your kids. You can't do anything if you do it without God. Pausing for a drink break. Man. I tell you, anytime we try and do things without the power of God, we might find some little bit of success. But in the long term, we just fall apart and we just prove ourselves to be foolish. I love it. I love it. You know, I've not really opened up the Bible much because I'm just exhorting, aren't I? In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, I think that's my verse that this message started on. You got that there?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Acts 10, 38, I believe. The reason I don't have it in front of me is because my printer ran out of ink. Doesn't that stink?
And then my iPad, which I digitally transferred my images over there to that, it's no good. All of these powerful devices, without ink, without power, without connection, they don't serve me one bit. So then what do I have? I have to actually remember a verse. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that. What has this world come to? A pastor actually has to remember a verse? What does it say in Acts 10:30? Oh, it's right there. Another powerful device to help us. So, wow, look at that. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. This is the testimony after Jesus' ascension into heaven, and the apostles were declaring, this is what we've all witnessed. Prior to this, Jesus said, he stood up as he began his ministry in church one day, and he quoted from Isaiah, and he said, hey guys, the Holy Spirit has anointed me so that I could declare freedom, do some awesome stuff, heal and break through some things, because you guys need it. We need that anointing, and it's on me. You know, we call him Jesus Christ because Christ is the Greek interpretation of a word that in Hebrew was Messiah. Both of them mean the same thing, anointed one. See, Jesus was the anointed one, and that anointing was simply this. I want you to see, it comes from this. Smell this. Nobody, smell that. Smell this. Smell that. Smell that. Do you smell that? What does it smell like? Oh, wait, that's my Kleenex. Sorry. I put it on this. What? Smell this. What does that smell like? You smell anything? Bacon? You smell bacon? Yeah, a little bit. A little bit of bacon? I had some bacon this morning. What I did was I put some frankincense, cinnamon, myrrh, all these different things mixed together with some olive oil. This is anointing oil based on Exodus's recipe for the anointing oil. And then I put it on this, and it was supposed to be performed by a perfumer, somebody to make a perfume. And so then Moses was instructed to make this perfume and then take that perfume and smear it on everything that was belonging to God and purposed to be used for God. And that's how the anointing oil was first introduced and used. And it continued to be used in that way. And so then when anybody was becoming a king, a priest, a prophet, a full-time minister, they would take this oil, and it was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Hear me. It was a symbol of the Holy Spirit as they poured out the oil. Think of hearing those terms you might have heard in church. As the Spirit is poured out, Joel chapter 2 says, poured out. In Acts chapter 1 and 2, you hear how that prophecy was fulfilled. The Holy Spirit was poured out. You know, you think about this and you think, okay, this oil can be poured out. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And whenever that was applied to the person who was going to be king, priest, or prophet, or minister, that meant something was combined in their life. God's affirmation came down and said, now you have ability and power along with permission and authority. You might have the ability, you just don't have the permission to do it. Think about that. You might have the authority to do something. You just might not have the power or the ability to do something. Have you ever been in that situation? I have the right, but I just don't know what to do. And it's amazing when you don't have the right to do it, but you have all the smarts and the know-how. You just want to kick the person who has the right out so you could get in and do their job. The reality of the anointing has an official capacity to it. God's hand comes upon you and smears you with the Holy Spirit to say, you now have recognition to function as I give you power. So when Jesus stood up and he said, I am Christ, he said, the Holy Spirit, the anointing, is poured out on me, and now I have the official recognition from God on high that says, he is the one. Jesus is saying, I am the one that has all authority, and I have all the power to do what I'm called to do. And that's why he could walk and he could cast out demons with just the word. He could touch someone and they would be raised from the dead. He could speak to somebody and their lives would transfer. He would look at a person and he'd know everything that they were doing before or after. He'd say, I saw you under the tree. He would say to the woman at the well, he goes, oh, I know all of your history. I know how many men you've been with and who you're with right now. He knew everything. Why? Because there was a power for him to function in the way that he was supposed to. And he had a position.
Now, here's the reality for each and every one of you. Just like you have a phone, you have a purpose and a design. If you have been created, you have been created not as an object of wrath, but God has intended for you to come to know him. He's asked, in essence, by making you, that you would come to know him and be recognized as a nation unto him. A people marked differently just for him. That you would be a nation, not of just one race or color or ethnicity, but a nation marked by God, saved by the blood of Jesus, and then having this anointing in you from the Holy Spirit. Every one of us born again has a deposit of the Holy Spirit, but that's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's not that outpouring and that overwhelming smearing of the Holy Spirit. There's got to be more. And so there comes an anointing if you hunger for it. There comes a power if you say yes and I want to ask for it. See, this is the reality. I can't make you anointed. No one can make you anointed. God alone can anoint you, and the only thing stopping it is often our hunger. We just don't desire it. So here's my action step for you. When I said unplug and plug into God, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be honest with yourself. Some of you in this room today, you're struggling. You can't parent. We had this awesome parent class, and we're giving you everything that we can to parent. But I'll tell you, you can take all those tidbits of knowledge, and your kids will still be screwed up. Why? It's not knowledge they need. It's not knowledge they need. That's one small portion. You don't need more information. You need more anointing. What are you hungry for, though? And so if it's not parenting, it's something else. What about your job and your fulfillment in life? You don't need another job. You need more anointing. If you've got depression, if you've got sickness, disease, you know what? It's the anointing of God that sets you free, heals you, and does those things. You don't need another doctor or another health medicine or something like that or whatever. You can listen to Terry Naturally every time he's on, and it won't make much of a difference unless you have the anointing. See, God can heal every disease, can't he? Not Terry Naturally. I just pick on him because he's the one that I hear all the time when I'm listening to talk radio. I'm like, wow, he's on again. I learned more about walnuts this last weekend than I've ever imagined I could know. Yeah, it's just crazy. So, what will you do to unplug and plug into God? I'll tell you how I would suggest doing it and how it's been shown to us throughout history. You got to pull away. Pull away. Pull away from things that you've been feasting on in your mind, in your eyes, and in your thoughts, and all these different things, in your time, the people in your life, the activities in your life. You have to do some things that are very painful for us to do at times. You have to basically go without. Because hunger only is motivating if there is a void or an emptiness. And in order for you to hunger and thirst for the anointing, you got to create some void and some emptiness. People never really pray like they should pray until their world falls apart. Why? Because that's when they feel the need. And you know what? I can talk all day about this, but until you put yourself in a position to feel the pain, you probably won't pray or seek. You won't even remember this message. So what would be the perfect thing for you to do today? Don't eat lunch today. Start right now. Right after this message, you say, you know what? I'm going to drink some water today, and I'm going to fast, and I'm going to seek God's face. Why? Because I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of feeling overwhelmed. I don't know what to do with my life, and I need help. And being in church doesn't answer it. Why? Because I need something more than just organized church. I need some anointing here. I need wisdom. I don't know what to do with my life. I need some instruction from God on high that doesn't come from reading another book. It comes from spending time plugged into God. And you know what? When you do that, God does something in you. Being in God's presence gets you into the proximity where you can be smeared with the anointing oil. And I'll tell you,
when I read this story of D.L. Moody, before he started Moody Bible Church and all these different things in this outpouring of anointing, he had two ladies in his life that came up to him and he said, and they were praying for him all the time. And they said, Pastor Moody, you need the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. You need the anointing. And he goes, I got it. I've been saved. People are getting saved around me. I'm planting in a church. It's going good. And they said, Pastor, you don't understand. You need the anointing. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he goes, well, thanks for that. And they never stopped. So finally he said, come over and talk to me. They came over and talked with him. They laid it all out. He said, I watched as they cried and prayed and poured their hearts out. You need the anointing, Pastor. And he's thinking, I got it. He goes to New York City and God shows up. He goes to New York City and God shows up, lays him flat out on the ground. He said it was such a holy moment, he could barely talk about it. It was like one of the apostles who said they had such a holy moment, they couldn't speak about it for 14 years. He said, it's such a holy thing, I don't even want to talk about it. But he said, the minute that happened to me, everything changed. He came back to Chicago. He preached the exact same messages he always preached. But more people got saved. The church grew. The world began to be changed. He said, I didn't do anything different. The only thing different was the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, the only thing that can be different in your life to make all the difference is going to be the anointing. Do you want it though? How bad do you want that? If you want it, you can have it. Because Jesus has said, he is the best of fathers. If you ask for that gift, he will give it. If you want that Holy Spirit to smear you, he will smear you. And it won't be the same portion of smearing on each and every one of us because he divvies it up as he sees fit. So to one, he's going to pour it out in buckets. To other, he'll just give you a little pfft. But here's the comfort. Just a little drop is enough to move a mountain. Zerubbabel said, and Zerubbabel was a guy that God used in Zechariah 4, 6, and 7, right? 4, 6, and 7. He was said, it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. That even the mountains would become like a plain before Zerubbabel. And the reason he was saying that is because with God, all things are possible. See, your key to finding victory in your life is hungering and thirsting for the anointing and doing whatever it takes to get God to pour out and smear you with his Holy Spirit. That's awesome. Amen. So I said all of this because I want you to begin now. If you're hungry for more, I want you to begin now practice and preparation for what I believe is a divine opportunity February 1, 2, and 3. Super Bowl weekend, there is something God has in store for each and every one of you bigger than the Super Bowl. It's our Thaw Conference. What in the world is a Thaw Conference? It's basically this. Lord, thaw my heart that I might receive more of you. God, change me that I can have more of you. And that more of him is that anointing, that power. I want the same messages to have 10 times more effectiveness. I want this church to, we're already full, but why can't we do two services? Why can't we have a service on a Saturday night, a couple services on Sunday? Why can't we have a line right out this window here saying, hey, as soon as there's some open space, let's get in there and see what this God is all about. You know, we need Jesus to show up in a mighty way. And we can't do that in our own conniving and all this stuff. We've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit breaking things up in people's lives and transforming them. So I want more. And so the Lord's just moved on my heart for that time of a Thaw Conference where our overseers are coming in. And you will have a time to do and experience what the Bible says is important when it comes to the anointing. And that's the ministry of laying on of hands. That's God taking the anointing that he has put on individuals that have been affirmed by miracles, signs, wonders. God's presence is in their life. Paul Tucker has seen miracles. I've seen some miracles, but I ain't even seen enough. My dad's seen tons of miracles. Mike Carmody has seen tons of miracles. And you know, these men are going to come here and they're going to be praying and they're going to be fasting and seeking God for each and every one of you. And I tell you something, if you're hungry, and if you wait, just like those apostles waited, 120 waited 10 days, and then the Spirit of God fell on them, and those people changed the world. They didn't do it because they were super smart or had all the potential to do it. They did it because they had the anointing. You need the anointing.
Stand with me and I'm going to pray for you. If you remember one thing today, I want you to remember this. You can't do anything without the power. Think of that cell phone with no juice. That can be you. Don't let it be. Start today. Unplug from what's draining you and plug into the power of God. Seek Him. Hunger and thirst for Him. And be expectant that God will visit you and anoint you with power. You want power from on high? I want more. I'm just going to pray and seal our time. And as we dismiss, if you want specific prayer for anything this morning, if you came here today and you need something from God, don't you leave this church until you get prayed for. If you've got something you've got going on in your life and you need a miracle, you need a change, you come down to this altar before you go, how sad would it be for you to leave and leave your miracle right here at this altar? Come and get it. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your hand that's upon our lives and guiding us by your kindness. You're drawing us into deeper waters with you. You feel that? The Holy Spirit is drawing you, my friend, into deeper waters, a deeper relationship with Him. Don't resist Him. Say yes to Jesus today. And let Him pull you into a deeper relationship with Him. Say yes to the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Say no to the things that are draining you of that spiritual life. And say yes to Jesus. Say yes to His presence. Say yes to that Holy Spirit. Father God, I ask for you to pour out like has been prophesied again and again and again. Pour out your Holy Spirit like anointing oil on all flesh again. In your name we pray this. Amen. All right, well, you guys be blessed. Come down for prayer if you need that. We have our prayer people here. And other than that, we'll see you on Wednesday. Get on out of here. Bless you. Open us, Lord.